You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court.
These past few weeks have seen the New Zealand First Party and National Party trading jabs, with the crux of the issue beginning with the India Free Trade Agreement. The issue began with NZ First refusing to support the agreement, leading Labour to collaborate with National and back it to fruition. NZ First Deputy Leader Shane Jones expressed his concerns over the bill, making derogatory comments about an implied mass arrival of Indian immigrants. The comments were rejected by ministers in National, ACT, Labour, the Greens and Te Pāti Māori. Despite these criticisms, little has been done in response, and the coalition government remains intact. Following the incident, another disagreement was observed when NZ First Leader Winston Peters leaked emails that indicated a disagreement between him and Prime Minister Christopher Luxon over New Zealand's response to US strikes on Iran. The emails alleged that Luxon wanted to express support for the strikes, though New Zealand's official response only acknowledged them. Finally, the government has also been looking into changing how treaty principles influence policy. The plan has been criticised for its similarities to the Treaty Principles Bill, which was rejected in Parliament and by the public, who protested en masse in 2024 against the bill. The current proposed changes are not set to be discussed by Parliament until August. For our weekly catch up with the ACT Party's Simon Court, I asked him about each of these issues, beginning with the party's take on discourse between NZ First and National. The India Free Trade Agreement has brought up some tensions in the government between National and New Zealand First. What do those tensions, I guess, feel like as the third coalition party from the ACT Party's perspective?
Well, look, ACT supports free trade, and I guess that's what you're getting into, because we believe that people get wealthier, New Zealanders get wealthier, by being open to the world and not by turning inwards and seeing all we've got in New Zealand as some kind of zero-sum game. New Zealand is a small trading nation, and free trade with other countries like India creates opportunity. It actually fosters competition in our local markets so that New Zealanders get access to more goods at better prices, and it fosters strong international relationships. And, you know, I think many New Zealanders would say there's never been a more important time for New Zealand to have a wide range of strong international relationships and not be too reliant on one country or another as trading partners.
Around the India Free Trade Agreement, Shane Jones, Deputy Leader of New Zealand First, made some offensive comments towards Indian immigrants. The ACT Party criticised these comments a fair amount. Does this affect the ACT Party's, I guess, broader stance towards partnership with NZ First in future?
Look, people can debate immigration settings, but they should do it seriously and without making whole communities feel like they're the problem. And, you know, we have one of the best and brightest Indian members of Parliament in the ACT caucus, Dr. Paramjit Paramjar, who has studied it and tutored at Auckland University, has run her own business, and chairs the Economic Development Committee of Parliament. And to suggest that people like Paramjit and the hundreds of thousands of other Indian New Zealanders are somehow a problem is completely unfair and incorrect, and that's why ACT called it out.
Will it affect the ACT Party's stance towards, again, partnering with New Zealand First in future?
Look, it's up to the voters who they deliver in the election in November. ACT will work with the partners that we need to form a government. I think we've also shown we can work very constructively with New Zealand First and National on a range of policies where the parties have quite different offerings, but that's the whole point of a coalition. I mean, ACT wanted to reform and replace the Resource Management Act with a system based on property rights. We campaigned on it hard from 2022. We had a fully developed policy. That wasn't necessarily something that New Zealand First were interested in, but that's in the ACT National Coalition Agreement, and that's what I get to deliver in my role as Undersecretary for Resource Management Reform. So we just have to accept that the voters will decide, and each party will then negotiate about the policy that is most important to them.
You mentioned yours and the ACT Party's stance against those comments, and there's many other jobs where making comments like that would get you fired or certainly get you penalised within your workplace. Do you think that MPs should be able to make comments like this, or is there a lower standard for MPs, or do the rules change a little bit? What's it like there?
well, our Act also supports free speech as a core pillar of our democracy. And there is the ultimate sanction. If the voters don't like what they hear from politicians and political parties, if they think that, you know, these people are not serious and aren't going to solve problems for them, they can vote them out. But we certainly don't want to be sanctioning MPs' speech. Remember, in the House, we have the privilege of free speech. Obviously, within limits, you can't call people a liar. You can't make ad hominem attacks on them. And outside the House, of course, you're subject to the normal defamation and slander laws that apply to any New Zealander. But, you know, ACT does believe in free speech, and we also trust the voters.
There was also an incident of disagreement between NZ First and National over the government's response to the US strikes in Iran, with emails that we saw leaked by New Zealand First. You've spoken before on the strikes as well. Did the ACT Party also take issue with Winston Peters' response?
Well, I think it's important for your listeners to know that within a coalition government, there's three different parties, and each party and their representatives will hold different views on a range of matters, and that's normal. But what really matters is that those differences are managed maturely, and what the public want is for the government to focus on the things that are important to them: the cost of living, better public services, safer communities, and making sure that, you know, particularly for your listeners, once they graduate, there are high-valued and highly paid jobs to go to in the future. And ACT's focus in the coalition has always been on stability and delivery. We're just not interested in fueling coalition drama.
I also want to talk about the proposals to change the government's treaty obligations. What are these changes and why are they coming about?
Well, New Zealanders deserve laws that are clear about what they mean and what they require. And over time, Parliament's passed a range of treaty clauses with quite different wording and unclear legal effect. So the purpose of the changes is to provide legal certainty, because vague wording leaves far too much for officials and councils and courts to interpret after the fact. So the intention is that legislation clarifying what these treaty clauses mean goes through a select committee, so all New Zealanders will be able to have their say on whether they think that the definition is right.
There's been a pretty big criticism of this proposal, which is that it shares a lot of characteristics with the now off-the-table Treaty Principles Bill. The government's already rejected the Treaty Principles Bill, didn't make it past the first reading, and the public also had a pretty strong response to it, you know, with the protests across the country. How would you respond, I guess, to that, the fact that the government is seemingly putting through something that has already been rejected twice?
Well, I think this highlights the underlying problem that ACT sought to resolve, which is undefined principles in law which get to be interpreted by courts, by judges, by people looking at your academic score and deciding whether you get into a place on a highly competitive course because of your results or your ethnicity. All of these things need to be clarified so we don't end up in a situation where, you know, for example, if you're seeking healthcare, or as I put out, access to education, people are interpreting undefined treaty principles to allocate rights, allocate resources and allocate services. It's completely unacceptable to most right-thinking New Zealanders, and notwithstanding the fact that a whole bunch of people organised a heckle and came to Parliament to scream in our faces about it, the problem still needs to be solved.
That was the ACT Party's Simon Court speaking to me about discourse between New Zealand First and National, the India Free Trade Agreement, and proposed changes to treaty principles in law.
That was Simon Court from the ACT Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.